Well, we're not here to have a, you know, I'm not trying to put on a show here this morning. We're just here to please Him. Amen. Amen. If we do, and if we, that's not trying to please people, not trying to please myself, trying to please Him this morning. So if we do that, we'll be, that's the definition of a perfect service. And I don't sit at home and wonder, boy, what can we do today to make service perfect? I just sit at home and think, what can I do to please You? Because that'll make it perfect. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 7. He is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. Praise God. We're going to start in verse 7. Well, let's pray and ask Him for utterance. You know, He told us we can do that. Paul said, and for me, pray that I would have utterance. So we're not speaking outside the will of God when we ask Him for utterance. And so when we ask Him for utterance, He has to give it. Because 1 John 5 says, if we ask Him anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, it's His will that we have utterance, because He told us that in His Word. If we know He hears us, the Bible says, we know we have. So when we ask Him for utterance this morning, don't be surprised when it happens. Amen? And He told us to pray for boldness. So when pastor's bold, don't be surprised. We asked Him for it. Amen. We love You, Jesus. We're so thankful for the Word this morning. Father, this is the highlight of our week, our visitation with God. Hallelujah. To come and to sit down at the feet of the Word of God, to hear what You have for us, to love us so much that You would say something through a natural man that would bring blessing to people. You are so wonderful, Father. You are so wonderful. We glorify You and magnify You. Father, I thank You that I'll say something this morning that will strike a chord in every single person's heart that is here, that will be pertinent to their lives. And Father, the reason You do that is because You love us and You're trying to take us to a new level. This is what church should be like every single time we gather. So Father, we thank You for the supernatural happening this morning. Be God here. Say what You want to say. Do what You want to do. Father, I will be a willing vessel, like a rag doll, Father. Wherever You want me to go, whatever You want me to say, I'll do it. We'll give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, He's just real to me. He's just real to me. He's as real as anything to me. I just talk to Him all the time, and He talks to me all the time, speaking things in my heart. And, you know, one of the reasons I got to know her so well is because I spent so much time with her. Yeah. A lot of people don't know God because they don't spend enough time with Him. Right. You know, if I only spent an hour and a half with her a week, I wouldn't have known her very well. Right. It was all the phone calls, right, and the hanging out and things that caused us to get to know one another. And that's the way it is with God. He's with me all the time. And so I just think it's awkward to be with somebody all day and not talk to Him. Let me hang out with you all day. Let's not say anything and see how weird it is. So I just talk to God like He's there every single... You know, when I get a prayer request, I'm not moved by it. I might be moved with compassion and emotion to help, but I'm not moved in fear because God's with me. Yeah. Amen? He's right there all the time. And so you need to develop that kind of a relationship with Him and just talk to Him and be real with Him. I'm just real with God. Oh, man. Some of the conversations I have with Him, and He puts up with me. Hallelujah. John 16. Today's my 14-year anniversary of getting saved. January 10th of 2002, in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania, Reverend Randy Nelbone, he's down at the Jamestown Church, serves down there, told me about Jesus. Oh, I sent him and his wife a long text this morning because once he showed me the goodness of God and he put up with me. And one of the things he wrote back, and I don't mind sharing this, is he wrote back, one of my favorite things is seeing how now you're preaching the gospel. You went from every word out of your mouth being a cuss word to now every word out of your mouth is Jesus. Praise God. And it's true. Yeah, you'd have been surprised. And I sent them a long text thanking them. I do every year because once I got born again, they opened their home to me and they demonstrated God's goodness to me. And they showed me God's goodness. And it just absolutely grounded me and won me to the Lord. And I encourage you, that's how you do it, by the way. You show people love and goodness. So thank God I'm saved. I'm 14 today. Oh, that means I can act like a 14-year-old. I probably would have anyways. I don't know how to act any other. I'm serious. I think I'd be 60 and still acting like this. I really do. 70, 80. Now. I probably will. Just, I don't know. I still haven't grown up. I still do some of the dumb things that I've always done. Praise God. But He's good. John 16 and verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father. And you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but cannot bear them now, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come." If you go back to verse 7, Heather, I'd appreciate that. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient." That word expedient means advantageous or better. Jesus said, "It's better that I go away." I'll tell you, that's usually not what you want people to say about you, you know? I mean, I hope that if I show up somewhere, the first thing people aren't saying when I leave is, "Thank God he's gone." Right? And I hope that when, you know, wouldn't that be terrible? You leave church, people stand around in the foyer, "God, I'm glad they're gone." That would be bad, wouldn't it? But in this case, thank God Jesus is gone. Amen. And Jesus told the disciples that, and it must have just blown their minds. Because here they had been with him all this time and seen all these miracles, had been blessed by him. And now he's telling them he's going away, and he says, "It's actually better for you that I go away." I would have been like, "What are you talking about, Willis?" That's what my response would have been to him. If he'd have said that to me, "No, no, you're not going nowhere. I will grab onto your leg and hold you, and you can take me with you wherever you're going. You're not leaving." But he said, "It's better that I go away." He said, "Because if I don't go away, the Comforter..." Well, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. See, it's better because Jesus brought blessing with him on the earth, but the only people that got touched by that ministry were the ones that were physically in his presence. But now when the Holy Ghost came on the earth and you accepted Jesus, God came and moved on the inside of you. It's what sets Christianity apart from every religion in the world, is God on the inside of a human. God took up residency inside of a human being. That's amazing. And so you had to go where Jesus was. You don't have to go where Jesus is. He's in you. You take him everywhere, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's doing the same thing back then as he's doing now, only he's with you. You ain't got to travel to Jerusalem or Nazareth or the coast of Asia. All those, you don't have to. He's in you. Praise God. And so Jesus says it's better because if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost, evidently the Holy Ghost and Jesus couldn't get along. They couldn't be in the same room together. I mean, they couldn't even be in the same earth together. What in the world? Of course, that's just a joke, but Jesus said, if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter to dwell on the inside of you. Well, thank God he went. Praise God. Amen. And he dwells on the inside of us, so it's good that Jesus is gone. And then drop down to verse 13. He says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come..." Now notice this. "He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now I want to mention a few things here about this. The Bible says that the job description of the Holy Ghost is to guide us into all truth. Well, we know by Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6 that says that God wants to direct our paths. And we know by how good he is and the past that he has for us that it's only wonderful things. So when it says he wants to guide you into all truth, he's talking into all truth of the word, into all truth of the blessing that he would have for your life. He wants to guide you. That word guide also means lead. Well, I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again because it bears repeating, and it makes a whole lot of sense to me anyways. You know, one of my desires, I don't have a whole lot of earthly desires. I really don't. And if any desires I do have that are earthly, if the Spirit of God would say to me, you know, that's going to hinder the plan of God, or that's going to, you know, set back your calling, I'll just lay it aside because it's not worth it. Sure. Amen? Yeah. But one desire that I do have, that I have not have a check of my heart to do, that I have a green light to believe him for, is I want to go on an elk hunt. Yeah. I want to go on an elk hunt out west. I don't want an easy elk hunt. I want a hard elk hunt, like one where you're going up and down mountains, where you have to get acclimated to the elevation and things like that. And I don't want it to be easy in the sense where, you know, you're hunting within a preserve and a fence and they just come right up to your corn pile or something. I want to have to find this thing in the vastness of mountains with snow caps on them. That's what I want. I want to do that someday. But because of what I do, and because of my time restrictions, and because I don't have a release in my heart to go spend 2 or 3 weeks every year going out to the mountains to find public land and to look for elk herds and to go out and scout and to find out where I can go, where I can't go, and study the boundaries and where's dangerous, what's not dangerous. Because I don't have that kind of time, I just want to pay a guide. Now, the hunting will still be the same, the work and that type of stuff, and you still have to make the shot and things like that. But what will be different is he'll already know where the elk are. He'll already know where the boundaries are. He'll already know where to go and where not to go. He's my guide, praise God. And by paying him, that's going to save me a whole lot of wandering around and headaches. You know, you could fly out there for 2 weeks and go out there blind, so to speak, not know where to go, ask locals where to go, wander around, never be even anywhere close to where elk are, not know where to go, stumble on somebody else's land, or be in a place, land that doesn't even hold elk. And I could go out and do that and spend money to do that and come back and be in the same position I am right now. Elkless. Now, you can pay a guide and still be elkless, but your chances go way up. See, because the guide's job is to get you an elk, because when the guide does better, he gets a bigger tip from his clients. And when somebody gets an elk with that outfitter, they're going to be more apt to rebook. So their goal is to get you an animal. It benefits them to get you an animal. Praise God. And so if you don't go with a guide, you can go out there and wander around. And a lot of people, Christians, sad to say, are wandering around in this world where they shouldn't be, making decisions that they shouldn't make. I don't just mean in sin. I'm talking wrong things that just hurt their lives. Going places, not following the guide on the inside, and they're wandering around and wasting a whole lot of time, money, and energy and effort. When you have a guide that you already get there, he says, I know exactly where the elk are. I know exactly where to hunt, that we're going to get you one. Well, as long as you can shoot, as long as you can earn shape, we'll get you to the place where you need to be. Amen? And that's pretty much all I have to be concerned about when I go there, is that I'm in shape and I can shoot straight. He'll find the elk for me. They'll provide the food for me. They'll provide the transportation up onto the mountain. He'll guide me into the right places. He'll lead me into the right places. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I have a choice on that hunt. And I've heard stories that just makes me scratch my head. Where people, one of the things I've been reading when I look for different places to put my faith on, is they'll say, don't guide our guides. Hunters will go out, and I heard one story. Actually, I was talking to a gentleman on the phone. I was asking questions about a place that he had went. I talked to one of the clients of this place. And he said, the main thing you want to do is don't guide the guides when you go there. They know what they're doing. He said two things happened. He said, I was in a spot one day. This was white-tailed deer he was hunting. I was there for 4 days, didn't see a deer, and I wanted, you know, he was there for a six-day hunt. You don't see anything when you've paid big, you know, bigger dollars to go out there with a guide. You don't see anything for 4 days, you're getting frustrated. Right, sure. And he said, I want to go somewhere else my last 2 days. And the guy said, don't move. If you'll sit here for the full 6 days, I promise you, you'll get an opportunity. And he did. He got his opportunity. And then he said, there was another guy in camp that just demanded. After, I think it was 4 or 5 days, didn't see anything. He demanded to be moved. And the guy said, don't do it. Just stay there. Trust me. I want to get you an animal. I'm not trying to skunk you here. Sit here. The guy said, nope, you move me. Well, he's the customer. He's paying. They're going to do it. Okay, we'll take you to another spot. They took him to another spot. They put another guy in the spot the very next day and killed the biggest white-tailed deer of his life. Good. Yeah. Serves you right, buddy. But I will say this, because you might think that, so I haven't listened to the guide. Pastor Mike said, good. No, I'm not happy about that. But we need to learn a lesson to follow him. But here's the great thing about it. I had a friend, actually, who didn't listen to their guide on a hunt. And you know it's not me, because I'd only been on one guided hunt, and it was a bear hunt, and the only thing that I saw that was bear was the woods. I didn't see a bear. And it wasn't me, but he didn't listen to his guide. And the guide told him specifically where to go, and he didn't go. And if he would have went, he would have shot a really big mule deer. And he didn't listen to the guide. And the guide got a little frustrated and disappointed in him. But a good guide, because they're paying, will not just say, oh, forget you, you go the rest of the hunt. Nope, he's paid him. He's got to guide him the whole time. So he guided him again, got him back on track, and he shot a mule deer. So even if you haven't listened to your guide, praise the Lord, the guide will still get you back on track if you'll be willing. You can still be stubborn and thick-headed and say, I'm going to do it my own way. But why? I remember at JCC, there was a girl who was completely blind, and she had a yellow Labrador retriever that would guide her around. That dog was her eyes, and it was amazing. I'd sit back and watch, not to stare or to gawk or to cause a scene, but I was just amazed how she would be able to maneuver through the parking lot, maneuver through building to building, go to the right class, maneuver around the obstacles outside just by the dog. She didn't know anywhere where she was going except for with that dog. Now, she has a choice. She can let that dog. See, what she did, she submitted to that dog. And because of that, it kept her safe and it led her into the right places. She could have said, no, pulled that dog over. She had the strength to do that. Pull that dog away. No, she just trusted her lead, even when she couldn't see. And it got her in the right places. Amen? It was such a lesson for me in learning the Holy Ghost, because we can't see Him. And we can't see up ahead a lot of times. But boy, He knows how to take us there. Amen? Go to Romans 8 and verse 14. So we have a guide that's trying to lead you into places.
Praise God.
He's trying to guide you into your victory. But we're stubborn at times. We don't listen to the Holy Ghost. We want it our way. We want it our way or the highway. Well, a lot of times we're sitting on the side of the highway broke down because of it.
That's right.
Romans 8 and verse 14 says, for as many as are led, that word, there's that word again, right? You could say guided.
Yeah.
For as many as are guided or led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So there the Bible tells us, just like in John 16 and verse 13, that the Spirit of God will guide you or lead you, for as many as are led or guided by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. God said, this is how I lead you, my child. I lead you, praise God, through the Holy Ghost. He says in verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now look at this in verse 16, because now you're going to see in verse 16 how the Holy Ghost will lead you. Because you might think, well, what does He do? Does He paint signs on the trees or come down and write something on the wall? No, I'm going to show you. In verse 16 it says, the Spirit... Now, the King James translation, for some reason, called him an it here. Jesus, just in verse 16, chapter 16 and verse 13, called him a him. The Holy Ghost is not an it. It's a third part of the Trinity, so that it should say the Spirit Himself. The Spirit Himself, now notice this, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, in John 16, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will guide you or lead you. In fact, Heather, if you'd go back to John 16, in verse 13, y'all need to learn to follow your guide.
Amen.
John 16, in verse 13. Now remember, the Spirit, because when you got born again, see, even sinners have a spirit. The unsaved have a spirit. And you had a spirit. When you came to this earth and were born, you already were a spirit. Well, when you got born again, your spirit became brand new. But not only did your spirit become brand new, the Holy Ghost moved in on the inside of you. So there's two things going on in there. The Spirit of God and your reborn spirit. And that verse in Romans told us that the Spirit Himself will bear witness with our spirit. What does that mean? Well, this verse clears it up even more. In verse 13 it says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Well, how's He going to do that? Well, here it tells us. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hears, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Well, who do you think the Holy Ghost is listening to? God. And He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hears from the Father, He's going to speak that, or what Romans 8:16 says, bear witness to your spirit. That's how He's going to guide you. And He will not speak of Himself. So He gets orders from headquarters, heaven, here's God's plan for your life, here's what needs to be said, speaks it to your spirit, and then hopefully you obey it and walk into what God has for you. But look at what else it says. He will show you things to come. That's a benefit.
Yeah.
Knowing the future before it happens?
Amen.
Well, the reason that can happen is because he's getting orders from headquarters. Who's he getting orders from? God.
Yeah.
Well, guess what God is? The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to blow your mind, but God's already been to your future. God has already been from your start to your future, and he knows the in-betweens of how to get you to maneuver through this life in victory, in heaven on earth, and abundant life. And the way that he's going to get you to do that is by giving orders to the Holy Ghost, who's going to bear witness to your spirit, and hopefully you're going to be a good customer and a good client of God and follow his leading. You will marry who he says to marry. You will live where he says to live. You will go to church where he says to go to church. You will take the job that he says to take. And if you stay on that path, he'll lead you like a good guide would into your blessing. Amen. How awesome that the future teller, that's why it pays to have a relationship and listen to him, because he already knows how to get you to steer on the wrong things, to avoid the pitfalls, to avoid the... See, you can go to Disney World one way, or you can go to Disney World and take the long way and go the back roads and go ways you didn't even need to go. And you might get there, but it was a whole lot of unnecessary time travel.
That's right.
And when we step outside the leading, yes, thank God he's always the guide ready to get us back into the plan, but we wander out here just doing our own thing, time wasted, money wasted. All these things, let's just stay on track. Endeavor to hear the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. I'll tell you, getting born again 14 years ago. Last week I told you, getting the word and getting hooked up with a pastor. And if I would say the top three things that have changed my life is learning to follow the Spirit of God. He has shown me what to do in life, where to go, what not to do. And has helped me so, so much. So thankful. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says, The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Do you see that?
Yeah.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, this is back in times when they didn't have flashlights, so the flashlight was the candle. And I used to love when, growing up, when the power would go out. For some reason, when you're a kid, that's cool. And, Mom would light some candles, and something about a candle was so cool in the dark. Well, what did that candle do? It showed us where to go.
Sure.
It helped us to not stumble. It showed us not things not to bump into, right? Well, the Bible says that that's what the spirit of man is. How God is going to guide you in this life is through your spirit. And until you get proficient in learning to follow the leading of the inward witness to your spirit, you will spend a lot of times wandering in places that you shouldn't, and going places that you shouldn't, and doing things that you shouldn't. And again, I'm not talking about just right and wrong, blatant sin. I'm talking about wrong decisions, things that set you back in time. Praise God. You gotta learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Don't you think that God, the Jehovah Jireh, who's the all provider, he said that's who he was. He said, I'm the El Shaddai, which is the God who's more than enough. That God who's interested in you being prosperous, don't you think he would know how to get you to a place of financial freedom?
Yeah. Amen.
If you'll take time to listen to him and stop doing it your own way, he'll get you to financial freedom. Because the will of God is biblical prosperity on the earth. And biblical prosperity is simply defined by this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You having enough for yourself, and you having enough left over to be a blessing into every good work. That's biblical prosperity. Donald Trump, see, people mix that up with biblical prosperity, and they get down on biblical prosperity. I certainly have never preached that that's what biblical prosperity is. Now, if you get to that level, praise God. But biblical prosperity is being provided for, all your needs met, and enough left over. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that would sign up for that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, then sign up for it.
Yeah.
Okay, guide, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Guide, take me to the elk. Okay, follow me. I got to follow him. Okay, guide, take me to prosperity. Okay, let's go. He'll take you there.
Yeah.
Okay, guide, take me to peace in my mind. Okay, let's go. If you'll follow, I'll take you there.
Praise God.
He's willing. He's a good guy.
Hallelujah.
He's a good guy. Hallelujah. So the spirit of man is the candle, Lord, searching all the inward parts of the inward man. The inward man. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. But if you'd crack the door just a little bit, that would be a blessing. It's getting warm in here. 1 Thessalonians, thank you, 5 and verse 23. And I don't think it'll get too chilly in here, but if it did, feel free to, you know, get your coat if you need to, but I don't think it will with the time we have left. It says, and the very God of peace. Now, you need to get this, because this is what you need to understand. Because the majority, and when I say those things, I'm not just making a blanket general statement just because, oh, it sounds good. I'm telling you the truth here. The majority of the body of Christ do not follow the Holy Ghost. They don't. It says, and the very God of peace, thank you, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole, now get this, your whole spirit and soul and body. Those are three separate things. A lot of people think the spirit and the soul are the same thing. They're not. The spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit, because when you die, that's what lives on forever. The body stays in the earth. And you are a spirit, but you have a soul. A soul, if you look that word up and study that word throughout the New Testament, is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. It's not the spirit. Your spirit's been born again and made brand new. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, and your soul and your spirit, they're housed in a body. You have all three. You are a three-part being. And all three of those parts, spirit, soul, and body, are going to vie for your attention and vie for your submission. They are going to be after you to lead you. And you better be proficient in only being led by one of them. Because two out of the three will lead you into the wrong places. In fact, without turning there, you can write these down. The Bible told us in Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit. The one-third part of you, being that you are, because you are a spirit, you have a soul, and it lives in a body. The one part of you that says to be led by is the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit. Well, you have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. We know what the Bible says to do with that. In Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right. So you're not supposed to be led by your mind. You want to know why? Because your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your ways are not his ways. And you don't want to be led by your thoughts and your ways. In fact, he says, I know what you need to do with your mind. Brainwash it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Your pastor is brainwashing the heck out of you. And I'm happy to admit it. Brainwashing you with the Word, not to follow some crazy, but yeah, we want to wash your mind with the Word of God. We want to take your thoughts and scrub those babies out and replace them with the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says, to be changed or transformed. The only way you're going to be transformed is when you start thinking like Him. Because how you think is how you believe. How you believe is how you talk. How you talk is how you have. And how you have is sometimes not good. It's true. And so then the third thing, he said, body. Well, the Bible tells us what to do with the body, too. In Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy, a sacrifice unto God. So your body, you take it and you present it. Your mind, you take it and renew it. Your spirit, you take it and you're led by it. Amen? And all three of those things are going to vie for your submission. And let me just say this, without being a downer, without being pessimistic, the majority of the body of Christ are led by this or by this. How it feels, how it looks, how it seems, they make their decisions based on. That is not how God does things. God is not in the goosebumps. God is not in the tears. God is not in the money looking better, so that must be God. Pay went up. Oh, really? Well, let me show you in the Word the dangers of not being led by the Spirit of God and being led by your own ways, your own thoughts, and your own... I don't remember the reference, but this verse just came up in my heart. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are death. There's a way that seems great, looks great. It seems wonderful. It's the easy way at times. It's the unchallenged way. It's the higher pay way. Well, God might lead you into higher pay at times, but I've seen people absolutely sacrifice God for a paycheck. I've seen it. I've had people, and we'll show you a story here in a second. I've had people sit down with me and tell me that, well, I'll just use this example. There's somebody, not from this church, not from Olean either, that was talking to me one day. I was going to hunt on her property, and they got hooked up with Pastor Tim's church, her and her son, and life changed. Everything changed for them. Well, that's what happens when you get hooked up in a word church. Everything changes, and it changed for the better. And I was talking to her. She said, in 4 years when I retire, I'm out of here. I'm going out west to Arizona. And I said, well, why? Get away from the snow. The weather's beautiful out there. And I just wanted to just jump out of my skin and wring her neck. I said, what church are you going to go to? I don't know, but I'm sure I'll find one. I just got to get out of the snow. It's my desire, it's my dream. I wanted to say, your son's life has been changed. Your life, you admit, has been changed when you hooked up in this church, talking about Jamestown, and you're telling me you're going to leave it because of sunshine?
Come on.
I will move and plant myself in Antarctica if that's where the plan of God is for my life.
Amen.
I will buy layers and layers to live in blessing and blessing.
Yeah.
And people all the time have their own dreams, their own desires, and God's just an afterthought. Well, I hope I find one when I get there. I'm sure there'll be one. Oh, dangerous way to live.
Right.
Dangerous way to live. Go to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Got to be led by the Spirit of God. You got to get to know Him, people. Do you know? If you weren't here Wednesday night, you did miss half your life. That was supposed to make you laugh more than it was, because you really didn't miss half your life, but it was just trying to really kind of pump up how good that service was. But anyways, had I not known how to be led by the Spirit of God, that service never happens. Now that's not, it shouldn't be something that you pat somebody on the back. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying because I knew how to follow the Holy Ghost, that service happened. I had plans to preach on the Word of Wisdom. And the Holy Ghost took us in a different direction. And what amazed me, there were like 5 or 6 people. The Holy Ghost started dealing with me on the way to church, or actually at home on the way to church. And when I got here, I had songs I wanted to play. And the Spirit of God gave me 2 specific songs to play. And they both dealt with healing and miracles.
Yes.
He was setting the stage for what was to come.
Amen.
And I knew that in service, I knew it by the word of knowledge. I knew there were people in service that night that needed a miracle. And I was absolutely dumbfounded by how many people needed a miracle. Had no idea. You might think, well, you talked, didn't know any. There was only one person about a problem that I knew that they were having, didn't know that they were still having it and needed a miracle. Everybody else, it was news to me.
It was,
but the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God knew. Praise God. And I've already got testimonies from that night. And if you got hands laid on you that night, you just keep going saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Well, it hasn't manifested yet. Well, welcome to faith. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. If you're not happy with the patience part, you're not happy with the faith part. Faith rejoices over the patience part. Because the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers tests and trials, knowing this. See, when you're believing God and you're waking up and the same symptoms are there, that's a test and trial. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces or worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work.
Amen.
See, you call patience horrible. God calls it perfect.
Amen.
Because you need it. So if it hasn't shown up yet, stop your whining. Stop. Just praise Him for it.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't you love me? I mean, I say that after times when you probably are thinking you hate me. That's why I say it. Don't you love me? Because I want to remind you that you love me.
Amen.
You got to make sure I keep putting that in your head. Genesis 13 in verse 5 says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee." Well, I'll tell you a little side trail and a nugget for you. Abraham was a man of God that God cut covenant with. He knew the value of keeping strife out of his life. I love that he came right away and said, "No, we can't have strife." The book of James says where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jesus said what? Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
A mature person in a relationship, in a home, will not be the one that will fight for their right to be heard, to be. I want them to know I'm right, and I want them to admit that they wronged me. A mature person say, "I don't care about being right. I care about making this right. Because I can't afford the strife, the evil, and the confusion that will come into my house by opening the door of strife." You don't want to invite strife over to your house. And a good way to do it, or you don't want to invite the devil over, a good way to do it is to get into strife. Abraham, he could have easily... I love it. He was the head. Lot was his nephew under him. Lot followed him. Abraham could have easily said, "You downsize, boy. You downsize. You get rid of your stuff. You follow me." But he didn't. He just said, "Let's get rid of strife. I don't care how we have to do it. Let's just get rid of strife."
Amen.
That's a wise man.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to be right. That's just pride. Pride comes before the fall. The Bible says one thing that the Lord hates is pride, a proud look. Hates it. Hates it. Would you rather stand your ground in pride all the while the doors and windows are being opened to the devil into your home, but you're in your place of pride? Or would you rather swallow that pride and bring peace and blessing into your home? I think I'll swallow the pride.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because the great thing about it is, Jesus said in Mark 11 and verse 25, he said, "And if you have anything against anyone, your only thing you have a choice to do is to forgive him."
Amen.
He doesn't even give you an option to stay mad or strife about anything.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be in the will of God, you're going to make it right.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, church, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Sorry. Kind of boxed into a corner. If you want to hold on to that strife and be out of the will of God, go for it. But your faith won't work, and that evil and every confusing work will come in. Ooh, I don't want that. And Abraham said, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not this whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you'll take the left hand, then I'll go to the right." He even preferred him. He said, You pick. You pick. I mean, what a man. Abraham was awesome. We need to sometimes do a study on Abraham and Lot. The Bible called them both righteous.
That's right.
Righteous Lot and righteous Abraham, yet their lives took two different paths.
Yeah.
One in blessing and one in constant cursing.
Yeah.
All because of decisions.
Yeah.
Verse 10, and Lot, okay, here we go now. So Lot, Lot's smartest thing that he would have done would have been, "I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you, Abraham. I've been attached to you, and this is what I've..." That would have been the smartest thing. But the second thing that he could have done is the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan. He should have lifted up his eyes to God and said, "Father, here we are. We're in a predicament. What should we do?" He never even consulted God on the matter. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now get ready, because you might think to yourself, "Pastor, you are ridiculous to stand up there and say that if someone's offered a bigger paycheck that they shouldn't just run to it." That's exactly what I'm saying.
Amen.
If the Spirit of God tells you to do it, absolutely do it.
Amen.
The Spirit of God tells you to do something in your business, well, it looks like it's going to bring in more money. Well, what's God saying?
Amen.
Because see, God knows what's beyond the paycheck.
Amen. That's right.
God knows.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes we don't. Lot lifted up his eyes. Now look at this. And look to God for his answers. Nope, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Notice this, it was well watered everywhere. Ooh, it looked good. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. The Bible says that it was like the Garden of Eden. Wow. Like the land of Egypt that cometh unto Zoar. So he looked and it was good. Isn't it amazing? We know the end of the story, and I'll tell you if you don't. How the devil can wrap something up in such a pretty box with wrapping paper and a nice pretty bow, and on the inside of it is a stick of dynamite. But you can't see beyond that box. But he can. But he can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't see it, but he can. Well, verse 11 says, Then Lot. Not after prayer. Then there wasn't a then. Not after prayer. Lot then acted when? After he looked and it looked good. After everything was wonderful, then Lot said, I have my decision made up. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. One translation, more modern, to make it easier for you to understand, said, then Lot chose for himself. Yeah. Then Lot chose for himself. Well, naturally, you'd think, why wouldn't he?
Right.
Why wouldn't he? I remember when we were first married, we moved into... I did this against the Spirit of God's guiding, and it almost cost me my marriage. My first year of marriage, when it should be wonderful, it was horrible, and she would admit the same thing. My dad had a stroke in 2004. We got married. He had it in April. We got married in June. We were scheduled to already get married, and he was in a nursing home for a couple months. Well, because of fear and anxiety, when he was getting out of that nursing home, I just took it upon myself to have him move in with us. And you might think, well, that would be the right thing to do. Yes, if God says to do it.
Sure.
And I did it anyways. And I had a check in my heart about doing it, but I got so wrapped up into fear about what would happen. Well, it came to pass when I finally obeyed God, nothing happened to him.
Hallelujah.
It was all a lie of the enemy.
Yeah.
And I thought, what are people going to think of me? Well, anyway, so we moved in there. We had a spot, maybe if you drew a line from this chair to this wall and across, this was our living quarters. And we had a bed and a recliner and a TV. I mean, what an awesome knight in shining armor for my new bride. I mean, I just was really hitting a home run that. Wow, praise me. I am awesome. And she always had a dog growing up. And I felt the pressure because here she is living like this. And I did this to her, didn't follow the Holy Ghost. Talked her into this, made her think it was the right thing to do, and it wasn't the right thing to do. I'm not saying it is in certain situations, that the key is to be led by Jesus. But I know this, that a lot of times people get in trouble with their family because I'll tell you what, blood is thicker than common sense. A lot of times people will do things for their family apart from obeying God because of fear and anxiety and worry. Don't do that. Be led by Jesus. And I'm guilty. I've been guilty a couple times in my life of doing that, and I've learned no more. I'm following God no matter what. I don't care who gets mad at me. I don't care who gets down on me. I don't care what they say about me. I gotta follow Jesus. Because when I follow Jesus, the blessing comes on me, but it comes on everything that surrounds me too. That's why it's important. So if God's telling you to do that, you do it. You do it with all your heart, and you do it wonderfully. Amen? But he wasn't telling me to do it. I did it out of fear. And I was feeling the pressure, and so I was working on a farm, putting in new oil and gas wells. With a company, and I was working with this guy we called the Hulk. His name was Fred. He was in his 70s, and he looked like a bodybuilder. His head was shaved, but he had the Hulk Hogan mustache, and we just called him the Hulk. He loved it. He ate it up. And they had a dog there that was 1-year-old Australian Shepherd named Cowboy that wasn't getting much attention because the couple was a little bit older, and they just didn't have as much energy as I did and didn't have as much love for dogs as I do. And I'd go there, and Cowboy would come up to see me every morning. I'd pull in, I'd go eat my lunch with him, and before I'd leave at night, I'd play with him. And Fred came up to me one day, and I was feeling the pressure of getting a dog. I'm thinking, where the heck are we going to put a dog? We don't have room for this. My dad already had a Cocker Spaniel that was very particular, and my dad really liked him, and we only had this little area, and I just didn't think it was possible. And Fred came up to me one day, and he said, you know, we've seen how you interacted with Cowboy. We sure would love for you to have him. Well, I heard that, I'm like, my goodness, a free dog that I love that's wonderful and that's going to make her happy. Happy wife, happy life. That's the key. Forget everything else I said today, gentlemen. Just know that. And oh, how life will be nice for you. And all the ladies said?
Amen.
Praise God. Always get the women on your side. One minister said this. He said, I always want to stay on the good side of the women. They carry the purses. Of course, I'm just messing around. But anyways. And so I thought about it. And the Spirit of God on the inside of me said, no. I had a check. You know what I mean? That check, that uneasiness. That's the Spirit of God saying no. And I thought, this is my thoughts. I said, I'll have her come see the dog. Worst thing you could ever do. Because once she sees it, game, set, match. It's over. And I'm driving home, and the Spirit of God said, oh my gosh, I'm thinking of all these things in my head. I'm making things worse and worse and worse. And just compounding the errors instead of following the guide. And so I go home, and I tell her, oh, she lights up. Because I said, let's go see him right now. Let's drive down to Sugar Grove. We did. Cowboy acted like cowboy. Just the sweetest, fun-loving, energetic dog. Super excited. She's like, sign me up. He's my dog. Let's take him. So I'm like, okay, tomorrow after work, I'll pick him up. I'll bring him to the vet. And the whole time, the Holy Ghost is telling me, don't do it, don't do it. And I'm saying, I've already told her. I don't care. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So I went and took Cowboy. Cowboy was a farm dog. Cowboy never had a shot in his life. Cowboy had all sorts of bunched up things in his hair and things. So I took him to the groomer. I took him to the vet the same day and spent over $500 to get that dog cleaned up to come live with us. And she was pumped. I was pumped. On my head, I was pumped. I got home. Now, my dad, being a stroke patient, it messed up his mind in the sense that he gets very emotional. And little things can set him off and put him in a place that's not good for a long period of time. And that's the last thing I want to do to him. And we got home, and on the farm were other dogs, and Cowboy would just run all day with these dogs and play. I got him into the house, and within the first 5 minutes, Cowboy almost took the head off of the Cocker Spaniel that my dad was attached to. I had never seen that in my life. It shocked the heck out of us. And I thought, that's why, the Spirit of God. It upset my dad. It upset her, because I said, we have no choice. He's going back. It upset my wallet. Here you go, Fred. Here's your farm dog back, looking prettier and healthier than he's ever been before. The Holy Ghost the whole time. But see, everything seemed good. Everything looked good for Lot. Everything looked wonderful. But you know the end of the story. He chose it for himself. He ends up getting kidnapped in this place. Abraham has to clean that mess up. See, that's what happens. The people that are doing it right usually have to end up cleaning up the messes of the people that refuse to do it right. Stop being a refuser and start being a helper. Start doing it right, amen? And gets kidnapped. Then Lot's wife gets killed, people come on Abraham's door to have unnatural relations with him and basically to violate them against their will. I'm just trying to be careful with young people in here. Go to their door. And then such perversion sets into the mind of Lot. Read this stuff. And then his wife ends up getting killed in that city that looked so wonderful. It was great. I don't understand. The pay was good. The love of money is the root of all evil. How do you know you love money? When you follow it. People that sacrifice their spiritual life for a paycheck love money. I know that's not popular, but it's true. But I need money. Oh, you don't think God knows that? Newsflash, God. People need money. Oh, do they? I didn't know that. But people sacrifice him and their visitations for the almighty dollar. Well, what am I supposed to do, Pastor? Don't play that game with me. You're supposed to obey God. That's what you're supposed to do. And that's the standard I will always hold this church to, is you're supposed to obey God. Don't come with me with your situations and circumstances and blow it up in my face and throw it onto my lap and into my area and try to make me feel bad for getting you to be blessed. My job is to hold you to a higher standard and to get you to obey God. I'm always going to encourage you. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Don't try to make me feel bad with your situations. No, you do it God's way, those things will turn around. Amen. I love you too much to not tell you the truth. And he ends up, his end of his years, hiding with his poor daughters living in a cave and more perversion set in. Look it up. It all happened from one decision that looked wonderful. What did he do? He chose for himself. Chose for himself. Oh, I need to close this. We are about done. Go to Colossians 3:15. This will be the last verse we look at. Whew. I told you about my Bible school story years ago. The Lord told me to go to Rhema. Well, I did not want to go to Rhema. Rhema might as well be the... Oklahoma to me might as well be the armpit of the world. To me, I didn't like it. I don't like it there. And didn't know anybody, didn't have any money to go there. And the Holy Ghost told me to go. And yet I had another minister offering me a full ride to a Bible school in upstate New York. That I wouldn't even have to work. At Rhema, I had to go to school from 8 to 12 and work from 1 to 10 every single day, Monday through Saturday, to just get my way through there. Not trying to make you feel bad. That's just what I did. I never had that kind of a life, so that was quite a change for me. And you're saying, go to Bible school upstate New York for free. We'll pay for it, and you can come home on the weekends. Come home, see your girlfriend, come home, still hunt, be around your family. And when you're done, if you'll graduate, we'll sign a contract right now that will make you the paid youth leader at this church when you get out of Bible school. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't tell me that sounds good to a 20-something, 22, 23-year-old young guy that doesn't have any money, that has to go 18 hours away to a foreign land in a pickup truck that I have to put a napkin over so I don't have to watch the temperature gauge because it's driving me crazy driving on the highway just wondering when's that thing going to spike, so I don't even want to see it. Yeah, I'll tell you, you tell me that free schooling and a job lined up after doesn't sound good. And most people would have jumped on it because that minister could not understand why I wouldn't say yes to that. Because we're not led in our flesh or in our minds, we're led by the Spirit. Had I have done that, oh, I wouldn't have what I have today. What are you talking about? The churches, the family, the kids, wouldn't have it. Because I went to a Bible school that taught defeat, that God's not a healer, that that's passed away. And that's what would have been built into me. But no, I was taught that faith is the way. Healing's the way. Prosperity's the way. And guess what I'm living? Faith, healing, prosperity. Because that's what I've learned. Praise God. I followed the Holy Ghost. So many people follow the natural. So I'm going to get... Some people come to me and say, Pastor... They get all excited about it. I'll say, where was God in the equation? You never even mentioned God. You mentioned to me the hours were good. You mentioned to me that the money was good. You mentioned to me all these other things, but you never mentioned God one time. Because they're not led by God.
That's right.
We need to endeavor to not be Lot's.
Amen.
How shocking for Lot, for everything that would have happened. Yeah. He'd have been like, wait a second. This looked great. And I'm not saying it can't be great when God does things. But what I'm saying is you don't go by the great or not great. You go by the inward witness.
Yeah. Right.
You go by what the Spirit... You don't go by pro and con list.
Yeah. That's good.
The only pro that I need to put on a pro and con list when making a decision is that God said it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's pro enough. That trumps any con that I might have and any pro that I might have. Yeah. Colossians 3:15. We'll close with this. So how are you led by the Holy Ghost? I'm going to show you how 99.9% of the time God will lead you. And let it. You can go on a hunt and not let the guide do his job. You can do that if you want. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, what's rule mean? Make the decisions, make the, wherever you go, you're going to listen to it. Rule, reign. To which also you were called in one body. Be thankful. Please pull that up in the Amplified. What's that peace? Peace is that rest feeling in your heart. Not in your head, not in your body. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire. Now, when this verse was written, it was written prior to the days of instant replay. Because prior to instant replay in baseball and in football, no matter what the official or the umpire said, it went. If he said you were out, even though clearly it looked like you were safe, guess what? You're out. If the official said, nope, the receiver had 2 feet in, but you can clearly see on the replay that they stepped out of bounds, that official called him in. He's in. It doesn't matter. Whatever the referee or the official or the umpire says, it goes. And the Bible says you need to let peace act like that in your heart. Where's your heart? Where the Holy Ghost is. Inward parts of the belly, remember? Proverbs 20:27. The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. This is the region that the Spirit of God is in. He says, let peace rule in your heart. Let it act like an umpire. You know what that means? Whatever your heart says, whatever peace says, you do it. If peace says go to Bible school 18 hours away, when your head says no and your flesh says no, you do it.
Right. Right.
If peace says do not get that dog, when the natural in my mind, everything says get it, you go by what peace says. You don't argue with the umpire, because guess what happens when you argue with the umpire? You're out of here. You get ejected. And a lot of people are getting ejected from life and out of the blessing because they're arguing with what peace says. They're going with what seems good in their head. Oh, but they're so pretty. Oh, but they're so handsome. Oh, but what does God say? Oh, the devil can bring it so pretty to you. He knows more about that person than you do. What is the Spirit saying? What is the Spirit saying about moving to this place? What is the Spirit saying about that job? What's the Spirit saying about that vehicle that you're going to buy? The Lord knows that's a lemon or not.
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
Lord knows.
Yeah.
Let peace act as an umpire. Now here it is. In your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which you are members of Christ's one body, we're also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. He says, let peace decide all questions. So all these questions that you have, should I take that job? Should I go with that person? Should I make that investment? Peace is your answer.
Amen.
Let peace decide that.
Yes.
Peace is that when you get that uneasy check, that's the scratch. Don't violate the scratch. Amen?
Amen.
Don't violate the scratch. Well, I encourage you to be led by the Spirit of God. I encourage you to be led by the Spirit of God. Praise God. It'll only lead you into blessing. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've given us, for all that you've provided for us. Father, thank you for the blessed Holy Ghost that you've put on the inside of us to lead us. Father, you're guiding us by peace. If we'll take time to get quiet, we'll know which way to go. We'll know which way to go. We won't follow our heads. We won't follow our emotions. We won't follow the paycheck. We won't follow the natural. We'll follow the Holy Spirit. And Father, it's important that we do so because there are times that you'll lead us into the right thing. And because we're going into the right thing, the devil will cause hell on earth. And when we get into hell on earth, if we're not led by the Spirit, we might think that we missed it. Father, I'm reminded of when Paul was given a vision to go to Macedonia. Well, he went to Macedonia. He was obedient. And he found himself in prison, beaten and stripped naked. Well, he was in the perfect will of God. If he wouldn't know that, there'd be a temptation to think that he wasn't in the right place. Well, he was. Just the devil stirred up trouble because of all the good that was going to come. Hallelujah. So when God leads you somewhere and hell breaks loose, just know that you're called there and just see the storm through. You'll get to the other side. I speak that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to people. That don't expect and don't think that God brought the test and trial. No, no, no. When you sign up for a life of following the Holy Ghost, the devil's going to be there at every turn to keep you out, to beat you over the head, to try to make life hard for you, but you just stay where God has called you. When I went to Rhema, you can keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. When I went to Rhema, hell on earth broke out for my life. Financially, physically, and emotionally and mentally, I went through a Job Jr. experience. I've been sick two times in my life that were the worst ever. One was the appendix. The second time was when I went to Bible school. I got sicker and missed 2 weeks of classes. Shut up in a closet that didn't have windows. I put my mattress in there and stayed there for 2 weeks. Came home at Christmas time and I was unrecognizable. I'd lost so much weight. Well, why? Because I was in the perfect will of God and the devil was trying me to get me to go home. But I was where God had me to be, so that's why we can't be led by the flesh and the mind. Because my mind was telling me, oh, you missed it, you missed it, you missed it. If you didn't miss it, all these things wouldn't happen. And my spirit said, no, you didn't miss nothing. The devil's trying to get you out. So you just follow the Holy Spirit. You endeavor to learn to hear His voice. You spend time alone with Him, fellowshipping with Him. Become acquainted with Him. Become acquainted to His voice. Avoid the pitfalls that are unnecessary. Go where God has called you to go. We love you, Lord. We praise you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? I love asking myself that question because I know the answer is yes. And the only reason I know is because the Bible says that I became a candidate for heaven if I would believe that Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, and rose again, and if I would ask Him into my life, the Bible said I would have heaven. If you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, and you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've been a good person. Well, that doesn't get you in. I've gone to church. That doesn't get you in. My good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. That doesn't get you in. If they did, then Jesus didn't have to come. Jesus gets you in. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you come up front. We won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you're going to heaven with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? Is there anybody that needs to receive the Lord this morning in here that's never done it? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we've all made Jesus our Lord and Savior. But if by chance somebody that is in this room or listening by the archives has never made Jesus Lord or listening by live stream right now, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Savior. And Father, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We endeavor from this place to follow His leadings and to walk into everything that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of the weekend. We'll see y'all Wednesday night at 6:30. You're dismissed.